Hey Postables, you're listening to Deliver Me a Podcast, brought to you by Casey, Jess, and Cammie. A special thanks to James Jandrish for letting us use the music on our show. Now, grab some Yoo-Hoo or a kombucha, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome back, Postables! We are back and so excited to talk to you about the movie and the wedding of the year.
Yay! Woohoo! Oh,
and I think the first question is, how many tissues did everybody go through during that movie? I know Cammie was pulling them out of the box.
Oh yes, she definitely was pulling them out of the box. I had no tissues. I had toilet paper.
Comments. I may have captured a couple of screenshots of Casey and myself sobbing.
And the mop was there to help them through it.
Hey, you were smiling very emotionally and very wistfully.
You were.
Yes, see, I will say, I did not cry, but I did feel all the emotion. And I was just, yeah, that's.
Did you?
It was all internal, but I really did feel the depth of the movie. I promise. I mean,
guys, she was sitting there like this.
I was. With my cat in my lap.
And she was stroking
him. Sure, she got misty.
I was just like with my cat.
cuddle.
It's my emotional support cat helping me through the intense emotions of this movie.
Guys, I started crying as like the credits. That's what got me. I was like, I'm just so happy right now. Just
yeah,
like,
Casey,
are you crying? Like, yes, I'm crying.
Well, and I mean, once again, it just grabbed us. You know, we've got a mother racing to the hospital, pulling her son out of the car. You know, I mean, that's very emotional for a start of a movie.
I mean, for me, it was the fact that it hit me that it had been 3 years since we've seen this movie, like seeing a new Science Sealed. Mm-hmm. And when It's All Good and Getting Better started playing, I was just like,
I know,
like I just brought so much joy.
I know.
And I'm like live crying.
It's coming.
For sure.
Oh,
but before we dive into the specifics of the movie, let's talk about kind of our overall thoughts and reactions, crying aside, because we all know that happened.
I was speechless. I was honestly speechless. When the three of us finished the premiere, I had no words. I literally had no appropriate words to say, because I was just it was so moving, it was beautiful, it was breathtaking, it pulled on the heartstrings, it was everything we didn't know we wanted in a movie. There's nothing else I can say about it, like that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there was plenty of kissing, which is not something Hallmark is known for.
And this was me.
For losing Casey.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Casey could not stop swooning and falling back. I was like, get it together, girl.
No, but the thing is, though, they were not just like, we're engaged.
No,
okay. It was like, we are getting married
tomorrow. It was awe-inspiring. Mm-hmm. It really was. I was just as speechless. Like, I mean, when it ended, I kind of felt like my breath had just exhaled out of me. I was like, what do I say now?
What do I say now?
I mean, I will be completely honest and say that there were a couple of little critical things that I noticed, and boy, did I love spotting the Easter eggs. I just loved it. I loved mm-hmm. that there were so many. Mm-hmm. And she filled this movie with so many Easter eggs and so many catches. You know, mm-hmm. so many, oh, did you catch that? Oh, did you catch that? You know,
yeah.
something that anybody could enjoy, but a true postable was going to enjoy it 1,000% because we could catch all of that little stuff. It just, mm-hmm. I was awe inspired. That's what it was. I just was, I'm trying not to say too much about specific parts because I know we're gonna get to that, but mm-hmm. it was so beautiful to be cliche. It was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just like my thought is after seeing that, is Martha's done it again. You know?
Oh gosh, yes. I even wrote down in my notes, Martha got me again.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops, she did it again.
Well, you know, and like the brilliance of her writing is that you always leave it feeling like you've learned something and you have something to take away from it. It's not just, you know, something you put on to pass the time. You come away from it having received something, and I think that's really special. And
yeah.
she really delivered with that. You know, I've watched it twice now, and I'm still digesting it all. So
I've much watched it like 5 times.
I didn't have as much time on my hands.
Yeah, we didn't have as much discretionary time, Casey.
I had to watch like 6 other things for other recordings.
But you know, I will say with this one, another thing for me that my initial thought. I felt like To the Altar felt so incredibly final to me. It felt like that was the end. Mm-hmm. This one feels like, yes, it's kind of, we're kind of wrapping Oliver's arc in a way, and like there's an end to that, but it was almost like a closing to a chapter of a brand new book. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many other questions I still have that this movie did not answer. We can get into that later, but I don't know. I feel like she just, Martha wrote this movie in such a way that there are more stories to tell, even with two married couples, because a lot of times on these,
especially like, with two networks, married couples.
Yeah. And these networks are always like, okay, they get married, the end, boom, done. Okay. You know, we don't ever see the continuation of a couple. It's very rare when we do. And mm-hmm. so, I don't know. I really hope this movie gets the ratings it deserves, because this franchise deserves several more movies. I want to see movies featuring married couples in real life situations, because that's not where life ends. Life doesn't end at a wedding. That's really where it takes off. That's like the beginning of a whole new set of adventures and problems and things to face together and trials and all of these things. So that was just another initial thought that I had. I had way more questions finishing The Vows That We Have Made than I did mm-hmm. at To the Altar.
Yeah.
But if this does happen to be the last, it was wrapped up very beautifully.
Oh yeah.
The flashback scenes, I love that she brought in other scenes from other episodes and movies. That kind of gave a finale feel mm-hmm. to it. Mm-hmm. I yes. thought, of course I want more, but yeah, of course I want more, but if
you don't want more, we disown you from this podcast,
which is why I'm only saying it. No, but if this is the end, it was wrapped up very beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which, and we appreciate Martha for doing that. We appreciate the fact that she does kind of wrap everything up really nicely And you know that they will have their happily ever after. So if To the Altar was final and we didn't get a Shalliver wedding, we know that they were endgame, mm-hmm. essentially. Or like in Higher Ground, I believe it was Higher Ground, that they didn't know if they were coming back for more. And so we got to see Oliver get down on one knee, even though he didn't propose. You kind of had that, you know, you had that feeling of like, okay, these two are going to be a thing.
So,
but, you know, I think that's one thing to appreciate about Martha is like, thank you so much for just wrapping it up in such a way that, yes, it's open-ended, but at the same time, it's also wrapped nicely in a mm-hmm. pretty
yeah, box it could go bow. Either way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Should we dive
let's
into
dive.
Our first topic?
Yes.
So let's begin with our lovely Norman and Rita, who are married and hoping for their rainbow of babies. That has not happened yet. And they cross paths with a new temporary employee named Charlie, which callback to the pilot.
Yes. Charlie Riggs and Charlie Reddick.
Yeah, but do you think she did that one on purpose?
I think so. I don't think you would reuse a name intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And same initials.
Like a main character.
Same initials too. CR.
Well, and isn't it interesting that Charlie was in the pilot movie and Owen was in the first TV episode?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So mm-hmm. that is a thing.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, yeah.
Yes. Charlie is darling.
Oh, she's a sweetheart.
She's such a darling. And that she's one character. I'm like, I want to see her back. I want to see her embrace the postable life. And I now we have two couples and a newbie, if you will. And I think that
they
could
can
bring a
help
whole new
her
dynamic.
Find love.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many things. She is just so darling. And when she turned, I was like, that lady's about to drop a baby.
Like, she was.
You're not allowed to say baby. Can't say baby.
Can't say baby. How am I supposed to ignore that?
Norman was so funny with that.
Oh my
Norman was hilarious. Jeff crushed those scenes with Norman. His facial expressions and his intonation. It was just, it was killing me. I thought, man. I'm so glad you're here.
And when he finally said it, he's like, baby.
Although I have to say, it was so cute when he referred to the baby as a parcel post.
Yes. Little parcel post.
A little parcel post. Yes. You know, they really tackled the topic of family.
They
really
did.
Well with Norman and Rita. With their family challenges. I mean, we see Rita and Shane discussing, like, did you take a test? I took the test. No. And, you know,
not.
And that happens a lot. That happens a lot with people and couples who are desiring so badly to have a baby. And it becomes very disappointing when you take tests and it's just negative after negative after negative. And then you think, yeah. Is it wrong with me? Is it wrong with him? What are we going to do? And I think they really showed the beauty of just reminding us all that a family can also include, like, you can bring your family can be created in many different ways. And I think we all thought they were going to adopt the baby from that sneak peek preview where we saw Norman giving the baby to Rita, and everyone's like, oh my word, they're adopting a baby.
I did not see quote unquote adopting Charlie coming. I did not see that coming at all.
I didn't either, but I was very glad that's how Martha wrote it, because when they were kind of talking about adopting Charlie's baby, I was like, this doesn't feel right to me. Mm-hmm. And I think Norman put it perfectly when he's like, is it wrong to twist the timing?
That was brilliant.
Yeah.
The twist the timing. It was so good.
Mm-hmm. And pointing out that Charlie wasn't their miracle, that they were hers, so that it wasn't about them receiving her baby, but them supporting her baby in the best way possible, which was by supporting Charlie. So that was so beautiful. I absolutely loved that Martha did it that way.
And that's such a good reminder too, because so many times we are always about the baby. We always, sometimes we forget that there is a mother to support. Especially like, and regardless, like women giving up their or placing their babies for adoption, or a single parent, or even just a new mom in general. Like, I remember, and I'm married, but I remember with my first kid, I felt so alone. I felt so helpless, and everybody's like, oh, the baby, let me carry the baby. And I'm like, I just want to shower and I just want to sleep, you know? And I think just reminding us to, you know, there's another life there with the mom, and it's important to support her. And just that unconventional family, it does take a village. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know how I would do it without my family around me to support me, like my in-laws and my sister-in-law and my parents. They're all here, and you know, my sister-in-law's having a baby in January, and I'm so excited for her. And I'm just like, you know, I want to be able to do that for you as well. That realization that happened with Norman and Rita about maybe the baby isn't our miracle, maybe we are Charlie's miracle, that really struck home with me, because there was a situation in with somebody that I'm close to had experienced something very similar. And it happens all the time. Like, this isn't just fiction just for Norman and Rita. This happens in real life all the time. Yeah. And I'm so glad Martha wrote this storyline the way she did.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to Oliver, because there's a lot to unpack with Oliver in this movie. We have Oliver's connection to the letter story. We have him and his relationship with Mrs. McInerney. And of course, how it all ties in with Shane too. So we have a lot to unpack here. So let's-
Oliver went on one heck of a ride this movie.
Oh my word. I felt so anxious for Oliver this entire movie. I think I held my breath anytime he came on screen, and he just like, Eric maybe it's just the face, and I'm just like, I feel Oliver's anxiety right now through your face, and I feel like I can't breathe.
and when everything finally got resolved, you just felt everything iron out. You felt the release of the tension. You felt the air blow out that he had been holding. You know, it just the mood completely shifted. And I mean, when I started crying one of the many times when Oliver was straightening Joe's tie, and he says, "Are you ready?" And Oliver says, "Yes." And then Joe says, "I know." It was so, so beautiful, because his father knew that he was struggling. Mm-hmm. His father knew that something wasn't quite right. And he talked Shane through most of it, the dear man.
Mm-hmm.
And then he knew that his son was ready to devote his life to this woman that he had fallen in love with over a very, very, very slow burn. But he just knew. And he said, I know. I know you're ready now. It's just, oh.
Joe might be the MVP of this movie because he like totally like
he did everything.
Darren, occupied, and then he's like helping Shane to help Oliver, and he's like, Joe was all over everything. He's like, I got this under control.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can read between the lines. He even talked to Sharon, because I'm sure, and we'll probably get into this when we talk a little bit about that character, but Sharon was completely baffled by Oliver. She goes. Okay, and you could tell that Sharon was thinking, is he putting on, like, what is this guy's deal?
Are you kidding with me now, you know?
Well, what's funny, I think, is they're still very alike. Sharon and Oliver are very alike.
Mm-hmm.
To me,
yeah.
Well, that's what Joe said, that she didn't understand him, because like, you both love Shakespeare, you're both very serious, and mm-hmm. you both had a spouse leave you. I mean, they had a lot of connections.
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. It's true. So while we're on the topic of Sharon, did it shock either of you about Sharon and Shane's relationship? Because I totally thought, after, you know, she sends her a birthday card every year, and she sends her a Valentine every year, and she has the traditionally late macaroons, and the idea of Alex calling through Shane into a whirlwind of emotions because of the way it ruined their mother, mm-hmm. and the way that she saw her mother suffer when her father left them, and all of that, I was just like, why are they bickering so much?
I think it's just a personality clash, not necessarily they don't.
It just took me by surprise. Like, I did not see this coming. I thought they would be very sweet and close, and yeah.
I want to say that they're probably close in a very unique kind of way, because
unique, we'll go with that.
Because if Shane really couldn't stand her mother, she would tell her to go home and stop rearranging my spice rack. But she kind of let her do her like tabernacle of love idea.
Yeah.
She let her do, you know, mess around with the candles. Shane was just kind of like, I give up, it's fine.
She was annoyed, but she didn't confront anything. Like, she mm-hmm. didn't make it a confrontation.
Yeah. And it could be one of those things too, where distance does wonders for a relationship.
Yeah. No, I was comment. Surprised by their relationship, but I okay. should have loved it.
Thank
I loved
you.
It though, because it was funny.
Oh no, it was mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I was just like, wait a minute, what? No, this isn't, okay, I guess we're going with this, you know?
Yeah.
And I love how deadpan Sharon is. Like, her character to me is so complex, and I feel like I don't understand her yet. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, but I just, she's an enigma to me. I'm like, I don't, I need to sit with you.
Our children are getting married. No kidding. You didn't know.
You said literal.
But so you literal. Know, Sharon is also so intuitive, so incredibly mm-hmm. intuitive, specifically with Oliver.
Oh my gosh, she set that man straight.
She did, but there was a point during the barbecue where she at first, you know, they meet in the DLO, and she's completely baffled by this Oliver man who she did not picture that as Oliver for her Shaney. And there's a point in the barbecue where she kind of flippantly asks him, like, why are you so into like
she the totally past calls and him old out.
Things? And that was like, there's something that was a catalyst for Oliver. Like, there was a moment there before where he was triggered by the word forever. And then when mm-hmm. Sharon asked him that, that was a catalyst for everything else that happened with Oliver. And when she noticed his like stuttering, you could tell that she realized like, this is okay. Number one, this is who he is. Number two, there is something way deeper that I don't know. And I need to back off. I need to just take a step back. Because she could have easily gone into monster in law mode and gone like, oh, why didn't you tell me more?
Yeah.
Human antique.
That, the suit, the pocket watch, and the apron.
It's quite the combination.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. Also, another thing with Sharon. Did you guys notice that this was, I wouldn't call it a callback. I would call it more returning a favor. Did you guys notice that Norman totally sold Oliver to Sharon the way Oliver did for Norman to Bill?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think of that, but you're right.
Yeah, that is, I would call that an Easter egg callback.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll count that. Now, speaking of Easter eggs, did you notice that Sharon said, lead on, McDuff?
Yes.
Which is a callback to the pilot.
Okay.
The pilot. It's the pilot. Shane, they're in the park. They're in Washington Park. And Shane says, lead on, McDuff. And Norman and Rita are like, what? And she says, Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I did not catch that one. Yeah, she was, and the other thing was how matter-of-factly she read Owen's drawing.
Yes,
you know, yeah,
I loved it.
Fred is a firefighter. No, that is not a snake. That's a water.
It's a magic snake. I want to go with magic snake. Stand by.
I want to go with fearless Fred.
Firefighter Fred with a hose.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Sharon cracked the case.
Sharon.
She did. But then when Oliver really needed it, she turned to a mom for him.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, we gotta talk about that conversation.
Yeah. Okay. And oh, just my. She called him Dearie, which was adorable.
Oh my goodness.
she calls him Dearie, and then just, tomorrow I want to become the mother you deserve. It's just, oh my gosh, she's totally opening her arms to him, mm-hmm. saying, love is a choice. I am now a member of your family, and you are a part of mine.
And you are a choice I want to make.
Yes, you are a choice. And then they quoted Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
Yes. And so, you know, that is a vow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of flipped, but if you know your Bible, you will know the story of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law.
Yes.
And Ruth makes a vow to Naomi, and you hear it in the vows of Shane and Oliver when Ruth says, I'm going to go home with you. Your people are going to be my people, and where you go, I will go, and your God will be my God. And it's almost parallel in a sense to Sharon and Oliver. And In the Bible, Naomi went through this terrible thing. She lost both of her sons. She lost her husband. She was completely alone. She had two daughter-in-laws. The one daughter-in-law was like, I'm good, you know, peace out. And then you have Ruth here who can sense that Naomi needed someone to love her and to be with her and to care for her. And so you have the same idea with Oliver and Sharon. I mean, it is flipped because now it's a mother-in-law talking to her future son-in-law, but she's telling him the same thing. She's telling him, you don't have to do this alone. Yeah. I will be there for you. This is my vow to you if you will accept it. And it was such a beautiful, redemptive moment for someone who had lost his mother unconventionally. His mother ran out on him, and he didn't have a mother figure growing up. He had his grandmother. That's completely different. The love of a mother is so different than any other love that you can experience. And in this scene too, one thing that I also took away is the fact that she was so surprised when Oliver confessed that he and Joe had been estranged for 15 years.
Yeah. Who helped you through?
And
that's hard to hug.
Yeah. Faith was hard to hug.
And it was just like, she was just cracking him, like one kind of like chiseling at him a little bit at a time, because all of a sudden the dam breaks. And Oliver is just beside himself. And I think that's a callback to Higher Ground when he has that same conversation with Norman, because he's facing the same exact fear of losing Shane, somebody he loves so incredibly, like so deeply. And he says to her, "I don't know what to do." That's the same exact line that he said to Norman. And this time it was Sharon, his future mother-in-law, who kind of gave him the kick he needed to, quote unquote, get his act together. And I just thought this whole scene was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I like is she gave him the talking to, but she ended it on a comfortable note. Mm-hmm. She ended it with Shakespeare. She ended it with something that was common between them, mm-hmm. so that he wouldn't feel like he had just been lectured. Mm-hmm. And I think that she was also proving, see, we have this in common because mm-hmm. we both love these words of Shakespeare. So the original, I just love what they did with it, because the original quote is, "Serve God, love me, and mend."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then with the two of them, "Serve God, love Shane, and mend." And just that last word, mend, let your heart heal. She even says, you need to heal. Mm-hmm. Let yourself, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about Oliver's connection to the letter story, because that's really all tied up in all of his emotions and things he's going through.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys, I have a lot here. I have a lot. I also have, hold on, I think it's 12 pages of notes. So, not on Oliver and Owen, but I did do a compare and contrast chart with Oliver and Owen. Ironically enough, their names both start with O. How fun. But here's what I wrote down. Oliver had a loss. He lost his mom. Owen lost his dad.
Yeah.
Oliver's mom left willingly by choice. Owen's dad, that was not by choice because he passed away heroically. Dumbarton, which is, come to find out, is Oliver's stuffed bear when he was a child, given to him by his mom. It's a symbol of loss. Whereas Fred, we find out Fred is the firefighter mascot that was Owen's toy as a child.
Another thing I did not see coming.
I actually thought it was going to be like Sandy and be like the firehouse dog.
Sandy's a dog. Fred is a doll. You know, I did not see that coming.
I didn't either, but Fred is a symbol of hope. And then Dumbarton, Oliver gave him up by choice. With Fred, Owen gave him up also by choice. However, their purposes were different. Oliver gave up Dumbarton because he was angry and he was letting go. And Owen had given him up because he loved him and was holding on to his dad, because we come to find out that Owen had given it to his father to ride on the fire truck because he was about to fight this very, very dangerous fire.
Yeah.
Dumbarton was found by Mrs. Genzinger, which is Oliver's Sunday school teacher. Fred was lost in a fire. So we have that found and lost concept. And then Dumbarton was brought back to Oliver as a symbol of a hope and a future, as Fred was brought back to Owen by the postables as a symbol of a hope and a future. And this concept of loss and found and letting go and holding on was so interwoven. And that was the one thing leading up to watching this premiere. I was kind of like, where are we going with this fire thing? I knew there was a firefighter involved somehow because I saw the promos and the Shane McInerney inside of me kind of did a little bit of research, but you know, it's fine.
Of course.
I couldn't figure out how it was going to intertwine with each other, but just that the overarching theme of letting go and holding on and hope and loss and all of that, it was just so beautifully done and so unexpected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they even they had the line about sacred spaces have a way of turning into lost and found. So
tying
that whole thing together.
When Shane said that. Okay, and can we talk about the fact that while Oliver was dealing with this and not dealing with it well, he got a little snippy. He got a little snippy with his future bride.
He did. And Oliver just, he takes comfort in the past and he takes comfort in his work because the past happened and that's what's done. It's safe. Old things are safe. If it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of idea. And he can't change the past. And with his work, it's something he can control. He cannot control whether or not he's going to be left again, because that's on the other person. And he takes so much, it's just, he's such a complex character in his feelings and his emotions, especially because everything is so internal for him. He's not an external processor. Everything's internally processed.
Yeah.
So seeing him kind of flip out on Shane was like, okay, breathe.
And when he tries to apologize, she in turn gets very salty with him. You know, I'm just like, there's trouble in paradise. Trouble in paradise 2 nights before the wedding. This isn't good.
Not good. No, but he is so terrified. He is so terrified that Shane is going to leave him. And his biggest insecurity is himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he has to fix everything that he is capable of fixing, and failure is not an option. So he was going to get that doll back to Owen, so help him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was, he became so driven, he became almost obsessed with this case, because mm-hmm. he was so determined to make everything right and to make everything all right for Owen, mm-hmm. because he didn't feel like it was all right for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah. Oh,
for sure.
And it's a way of avoidance. He doesn't I mean, this is why we've gone all these years up until 3.5 days before the wedding for Oliver to finally face his fear. I mean, he kind of faces it a little bit in Higher Ground. He faces a little bit of it in From Paris with Love, but he never fully faces it like front on.
Head on.
It's just he takes that moment and then it just kind of goes under the rug. He never really processes it.
He does take fear by the horns into the altar because he had those doubts about Shane.
He's contemplating.
And yeah, he was very contemplative, and he still proposed.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very, very, very long journey, and coming out on the other end means that he had only gotten to the middle. Mm-hmm. He wasn't quite there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go off the rails a little bit here. Because I did a lot of deep diving, because as I was watching this movie, I realized I had seen it before. Not the movie, but I had seen this
concept.
theme of that relates to Oliver's stuffed toy. So in Touched by an Angel, the finale, we have this town who is grieving the loss of all their children. Like, all those children died in a school explosion. And so they like have like all this stuff from the kids they never like touched. Like, there's a bike sitting on the street. There's pictures and articles like from the children that they can't move past that hurt that they're dealing with. They can't move to their healing. And what ends up happening is a character who ends up being Jesus takes all of that stuff, and they don't know where it went. They don't realize he's Jesus at the time. And they all end up going to the chapel that had been boarded up because nobody had been using it because they're all so despondent. And they find that everything from the children was left at the altar because they had to bring that hurt to the altar, to God, before they could heal, and they just couldn't get there. And so I thought that was a really interesting connection. I don't know if Martha did it intentionally, because Oliver took his stuffed bear and left it at the altar. He had to leave that hurt of his mother leaving behind. That was a symbol of his hurt. Another fun thing was that in Touched by an Angel, there was a character named Sophie who's the first to notice all the stuff at the altar. And she's played by Marion Ross, who also plays Mrs. Genzinger, who finds Oliver's toy. So I thought that was a really fun full circle connection between Touched by an Angel and Seinfeld.
You know, and whether or not she did it, quote unquote, on purpose, it's the way her mind works. Mm-hmm. It's just the way Martha's mind works in making connections. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so maybe she did consciously make that decision, but even if she didn't, and she did it subconsciously, then,
so beautiful. You know,
that it's gorgeous, and it's way, and it's the way that brilliant mind works.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you watch Touched by an Angel, you should go back and watch that episode. Great.
Oh, it's beautiful. It really is. Can we talk about Robin Walker's quote to Oliver about how he says this is kind of like what opens the door for Oliver to face his fear? It's almost like Robin goes, here's the door, unknowingly, of course, and Oliver's like, I can either stand here and stare at an open door, I can walk right through. And this was so profound to me. Oliver had asked Robin, okay, you lost your husband in a fire, your son has leukemia, and you are now a captain of lieutenant of the fire department. Like, how, why? And so she says, being afraid to lose somebody someday steals the joy of having them today. Wow. I mean, it's exactly what Oliver needed to hear at that moment, because He'd been so consumed with his fear and himself and all of the what ifs, what could happen, and his past, and remembering that his wife left him to go to Paris, his mother left him to pursue whatever.
Twice.
What about Shane? Twice. And we find out twice. And now what about Shane? You know, and it's just... That got really deep for me.
It did. And Shane kind of gives a precursor for that. She trips him up by canceling the rehearsal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my word.
When we don't need a rehearsal for the wedding, we need one for the marriage. I was like, man, Shane's getting profound here. You're not sharing with me. And if you're not going to share things with me, how are you going to share your life with me? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, man.
Shane.
Shane's getting deep.
But it's a good question because Oliver plays it close to the vest, you know? I mean,
very good question. And, you know, she wasn't afraid to confront it. I mean, she probably was, but she did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And she did not brush it under the rug and have that starry-eyed view. Oh, well, that's okay. We'll just fix it when we're married. Mm-hmm. You know, like, no, we need to get this fixed now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you want to share your life with me, then you need to start sharing things with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on this is kind of going ahead a little bit, but we can backtrack. Speaking of sharing, when Norman says, I don't want to say it if it'll make you unhappy. Mm-hmm. And Rita says, Norman, we're married. You know, I was just like, we need to be able to share things with each other. We need to be able to understand that we should be able to say anything to each other. It was really, really adorable how both couples were learning a thing or two about sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And trust, not just trusting the timing, but trusting their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I found really profound is, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when Norman was talking about, wouldn't it be a mistake to twist the timing? I don't know if you noticed this, but the music cue in the background, it's the same music as when Norman and Rita first kissed.
Oh,
and so it kind of felt like Norman and Rita's theme.
Mm-hmm.
And because when they first kissed, it was this huge revelation and discovery that Rita loved Norman and that he kissed her. And now they're having this huge revelation that they are going to be the giver of the miracle instead of the receiver. And it felt like Norman and Rita's theme.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was like, oh, that's the same music. I found it very profound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot of little musical like tie-ins. I'm not as good as some of the postables about recognizing where they come from, but I definitely noticed there was a lot of like music. I'm like, I know I've heard that before, and I know I heard that before.
Yes. Yeah, well, and it happened when they were talking to Charlie about adopting her, the same music, and then it kind of goes and goes into this
tense, yes,
the tense music when she says, "Ah, I'm a labor." But it was the same music for a little bit, and I thought that was so beautiful. For us as fans to be able to recall the music and for it to be poignant when talking about certain characters.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm on music,
I was almost going to transition for you, but go ahead.
Okay. While I'm on music, after Shane and Oliver were married, the music in the background is Ode to Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Very famous piece. I'm sure a million people noticed.
Mm-hmm.
But I took it as this beautiful breath of relief. Mm-hmm. That Oliver is truly filled with joy.
Yeah.
Now, he got married full of joy. He doesn't have any doubts anymore. And he and Shane both know that they are going to be happy. They're not going to be perfect, but they both know that they're going to be happy forever, because that's what the watch says.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I thought that music was really cool too, because Martha just talked about it in our interview about how the phrase field and fountain, or whatever it is, but yes. I was like, oh, here it is again.
It's joyful, joyful.
It's
the same tune. So hey, either way it works, right? Joyful, yeah. Joyful, or Ode to Joy.
We're all joyful because
hey, and you know what? My Oliver. Christmas counted all joy.
That's the thing.
How about that? How about
there you go.
Before we get too far into the wedding, can we backtrack to Oliver and Shane and Oliver confronting his fears? Because this is a big scene, and there is a callback musical during the gift exchange. I don't know if you guys caught that, but before we get there, can we talk about Oliver and Shane and the DLO?
Oh my gosh. That was probably my favorite scene other than the wedding.
I have here KB and EM killed it.
Oh my god.
With a gigantic heart.
With a gigantic heart.
A gigantic heart. Oh my goodness. I mean, Shane is so excited and she's like, oh, we're gonna do this, we're gonna go here, and like we've never seen Shane so excited and so elated giddy. About something. She was completely giddy. Her voice was like a notch high in this very dreamy state of mind. You know, like usually Shane is
going away. Yes.
Shane is usually like, okay, you know, she talks normally, but we never see her in that high, you know, voice head where she's dreamy and giddy, and she, when she says, what do you think about ballooning over Stockholm?
What are your thoughts about ballooning over Stockholm?
Shout out to From Paris with Love.
No, that's Lost Without You, because it's the bucket list.
Oh, is it the bucket list? Oh, that's right. I thought you mentioned in that too, but no, okay, yes, you're right. Jackie's just kidding, ignore that, but you know, it's fine, there's a million of them movies. It's a callback. But
it's a callback.
The way Oliver is just silent the entire time, he like nods and you can tell like he has, if something is eating him, and if he doesn't say anything, it's just gonna kill him. Like you can just tell in his face that anxiety is just right there. And when she sees that and she says, Oliver, you're scaring me. Mm-hmm. I don't think I breathed.
I know.
I knew they were gonna get married. I just, what is he gonna say? How is she gonna react?
Is it gonna push the wedding?
And the way she didn't cry in that moment, but you could see the tears are welling up, and she does this really amazing thing where like the tears don't like fall, they're just there, like sitting on her eyeballs. And I'm like, I'm feeling this really deeply right now, and I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I want to cry or if I just want to hold my breath or what. And when Oliver says to Shane, how long will it be until you, and he can't even finish, and she's like, Oliver, no. I was like, I can't with this right now.
The horror on her face at the thought, and just, Oliver, no. Mm-hmm. You know, that was something that he feared, and it was something that he had to get out. But for her to be that ready to negate it, mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, it took a little bit for it to sink in, but I thought that was very important for Oliver to hear.
Yeah.
That he didn't even say the word, just the idea was there, and she balks at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she looks terrified.
Yes.
I mean, Shane went from giddy to terrified in like just like that. And
1.2 seconds.
I mean, when Oliver says, I can't get it out of my head that forever is a promise that not everyone can keep, especially to me, when they realize I am, and he can't even say it. And it's so sad. It is so heartbreakingly sad how Oliver just feels like he's not worth it. He essentially feels like people just threw him away.
Everyone is going to leave me at some point.
I mean, it's the fear that was addressed in Lost Without You, and he says, every woman who truly mm-hmm. matters has broken my heart. And then he says, like, my mother left me, my wife left me. And it's that same thing, you know, it's just, you can't blame the guy.
No.
For thinking that. I mean, and he even asks Norman, he's like, but you didn't have a mother. Why are you normal?
Norman's like, well, normal is debatable.
Well, no, but you know, but Norman doesn't have the same anxieties that Oliver does.
Yeah.
The circumstances mm-hmm. were totally and completely different. But when Oliver kind of confesses, he thinks that it's him and he's the problem and that nobody will love him.
I just want to hug him.
My heart was breaking for him. My heart was breaking for him. And then Shane knows this man. She knows this man that she's about to marry because she knows how to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And even though she's a little panicked because she doesn't know what's going to happen, she says the right words, and she says, it's not because of who you were, it's because they had no idea who they were.
And she says, I know who I am. Okay, can we talk also about the cinematography in this scene, because you can see her moving closer, like the camera is like up on her and she's walking closer and closer and closer to Oliver, because at first they're like 10 feet apart.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It was very representative of the distance between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
emotionally at the moment.
They start closing in as Shane is telling Oliver that she made a promise that she loves him and that she will marry him and that she will love him forever. And that the cinematography in that was amazing, and just, it was so beautiful. And when she says, I will never leave you, she says it four times.
I know you and I still love you. Okay, that is where That is where I thought Oliver was gonna say, I love you. He didn't say it. He never said it in this movie. And I'm the teeniest, tiniest bit disappointed about that. Because I wanted him to just be so overcome with this woman who has just saved him emotionally. I wanted him to just say, I love you, Shane. You know, and it just. But he said it with his eyes.
He said it with
he didn't need to say it.
He didn't need to say it, because after that,
woo!
That kiss
was something else.
That wow! And then the dancing.
And all the callbacks
of the dancing
wasn't even like hey, we're dancing. It was like they were holding on to each other and
never dancing, letting go.
Like two people in love. I was gone.
And you know, I loved the different ways that they held each other, because, you know, at first it was this kind of clutching, you know, you couldn't have pried them apart with a crowbar. Mm-hmm. That he was just clutching onto her, so desperate to not let go. Mm-hmm. And then they moved more into a traditional dance pose, and they did my favorite thing in the world, the hand cradle, where he takes her hand and puts it on his chest.
And the song. And then he dips her, and it's just,
I think I need to mop you two up.
Oh my goodness, but that's the song they chose for this, Never My Love. That bassy beginning, I was like, oh, hey, we're gone. We haven't even seen these two people on screen, but we're all gone.
Oh my gosh. It was so, so beautiful. Beautiful. And then it goes straight into something even more beautiful, which is, it's after midnight. You're seeing the bride on the wedding day. And it is a beautiful sight to behold. And then they give each other their gifts, which for both of them, their gifts could not have been more perfect.
So sweet.
And then their ribbons were the itinerary colors.
And what was that?
Their ribbons were their itinerary colors.
I didn't even notice that. You know what I noticed, though? The music in that scene was the music of Jonathan and Catherine.
Really?
Yes, it was in the treasure box.
Oh, I missed that one.
And also, I don't know if this is necessarily a callback, Catherine and Jonathan Walker, and then we also have, like, Owen Walker. Mm-hmm. We're going to go with the whole name theme. I don't know, maybe. But I did notice that music, because that music is very iconic, and it was only used the one time with the treasure box, but exchanging the gifts, there, you know, vows, marriage, letters,
and the way she looks directly at him after this conversation that they've had and said, how about forever? That's exactly what he needed to hear as a follow-up. And then I'll have it done by noon. Norman has a cousin. which is a perfect way to have a little bit of comic relief in a very stressful situation.
Charge the moment.
Exactly. No. And it was perfect. So perfect. Oh my gosh.
It's absolutely
and
perfect.
Just the fact that she called Mrs. Gensinger and got the bear back. Oh my gosh, she loves him so much.
So sweet. Oh, be so my heart.
Oh.
Well, we've covered a lot in just 1 hour, and we still have plenty more to talk about, but we're going to end here and save part two for another night. We will see you then. Guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Deliver Me a Podcast. To stay up to date on all our episodes, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Deliver Me a Pod and on Instagram at Deliver Me a Podcast. We also have a merch store where you can buy tons of postable things for you and your friends. We'll see you next week.